It's Monday, March 28th, 2022, and I'm Dave Sobel. Two things to know today. Do Americans really hate their jobs? And Microsoft accused of bribery in new whistleblower essay. This is the Business of Tech. With the new week comes some new data about working. Employers are changing the way they approach background checks. Per reporting in Axios, some are switching to one-year reviews of backgrounds rather than a seven-year look to widen the pools of applicants. And there's a new option, continuous monitoring, where they are checking court records regularly. There's been a 12% increase in this approach over the past year, per APRIS Insights. There is a flaw here, too. Black Americans tend to be more harshly treated by police and the courts, so if employers are getting flagged when someone is arrested or charged, it could have a disproportionate effect on them. In a survey of HR leaders, there are several possible pitfalls ahead for companies who aren't adapting to the new reality. 41% cited the persistence of meeting culture as a top challenge, noting meetings were too long, poorly timed, and lacking focus, which was squashing productivity as a result. Two-thirds, 67% of survey respondents strongly agreed that allowing employees to choose which meetings they attended would improve productivity. There's an IT reliance here, too. More than 8 in 10 respondents at 84% said they were receiving more emails than ever, and there was a similar response when respondents were asked about their use of instant messaging at 80%, video communications 83%, and file sharing tools 77%. The report highlights the need to keep these technologies under control, culturally, not technologically. I also wanted to pull a couple of data points from a long piece in The Atlantic that dispels the myth that most Americans hate their job. It has three narratives. First, Americans don't want to work anymore. Second, most Americans hate their job, and the pandemic made them really hate their job. And third, that the Great Resignation is a reflection of that job hatred. In the first, the author notes 4% unemployment and more than 80% of prime-age workers employed or looking for work. On the second, the Conference Board reported that job satisfaction in the first year of the pandemic was the highest the organization had recorded since 1995. And the third points to research by Angus Reid Global, which points to worker opportunity as the real reason, not worker sentiment. The short conclusion is that people are quitting because they see more job listings and switch to better jobs. So why do we care? This is also very intertwined. Let's start with the Atlantic piece, as it clearly says what's going on here. The job market is tight because there are many opportunities. The disruption to the old ways has proven to be welcome, i.e. higher job satisfaction. This leads to the conclusions to be made from the other two stories. Successful employers will be the ones who examine their own cultures and organizations to ensure that satisfaction stays high, because workers have so much more opportunity. Reevaluating the hiring criteria seems wise. I'm less sold on continuous monitoring, particularly for SMB organizations, and with the implications of race being problematic, but I am sold on changing gating criteria. One story I didn't want to let slip by, The Verge covering a story about accusations from within Microsoft of ignoring bribery by employees, subcontractors, and government operators in foreign transactions. In an essay on whistleblower platform Lioness, Yasser Elbud described his experiences. He estimated that more than $200 million each year is spent on bribes and kickbacks linked to the company, often in countries like Ghana, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. He believes more than half of the salespeople and managers took part in the regions he worked in. "It's going on at all levels," he said in an interview with The Verge. "All the executives are aware of it, and they're promoting the bad people. If you're doing the right thing, they won't promote you." In a statement to Insider, Microsoft said, "We believe we previously investigated these allegations, which are many years old, and addressed them. We cooperated with government agencies to resolve any concerns." Why do we care? The lesson here is embedded in The Verge article. Quote, But while a good process can excuse a few bad cases, evidence of a bad process can bring more severe punishment, a particularly serious threat given the Justice Department's recent focus on repeat corporate offenders. So is this bad for Microsoft? Oh, sure. What I'm more interested to learn, however, is if this is a process failure or not. The investigation, if any, will be critical. Think about how your organization would respond. Look the other way, have a way to address it, or potentially, worst of all, not know what to do. Are you still relying on a frustrating patchwork of legacy solutions? Modernize your cybersecurity and data protection with Acronis CyberProtect Cloud. It's a single solution that combines backup, anti-malware, and endpoint protection management. As an MSP, you can easily improve client security posture, eliminate complexity, and generate more recurring revenue. Learn more about Acronis CyberProtect Cloud at acronis.com. Thanks for listening. Just a couple days left in the quarter. How's yours looking? I will talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.